Shaw Valley Presbyterian Church, and thank you for being here on this rainy Sunday to worship God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I know a lot of people are on vacation, so we want to remember them in our prayers this week and all during the summer. First announcement, if you take your red pad, sign it, and pass it down, we would appreciate having a record of your attendance. And I see some faces I don't recognize today, and glad to have some visitors. I had a chance to meet a family from Chicago here today and welcome them, and I didn't get a chance to meet this couple, but I understand you are former members here. And where are you living now?
North Carolina.
North Carolina.
Married here.
In this church.
An elder.
What town in North Carolina? What town?
Sanford.
I know Sanford. I was pastoring a church in North Carolina, Jacksonville, and moved here. And I'm from South Carolina, so you'll probably be able to understand what I say today. That's a plus. And welcome all our other visitors, too. I see some other faces. And I hope you enjoy it today. And if you're in the area, we would love for you to come back and visit with us again. Some announcements that are not in the bulletin, I don't think. I haven't really perused it good yet. But Reverend John White is going to be in town, and he's been invited to speak and preach next Sunday. I will be here. I'll be doing all the preliminaries, the announcements, and all that good stuff. But John will read the scripture, and then he will bring us the message. And if you've heard John preach, you'll definitely want to be here. If you've not heard him preach, It's a real blessing. He brings a good message, and he has a wonderful preaching voice. So I hope that you can be here next Sunday to hear him. There's a Christian education meeting this Monday at 7:30. Not sure which room we will be in yet. We'll find a place to show up. And we're inviting all the parents. Actually, we're encouraging parents to come from nursery age on up as we explore ways that we can minister to our children, have programs, get feedback from the parents, because if we set up programs and the parents say, well, we're not bringing our children to that, then we've just kind of spun our wheels. So we'd really like to get feedback from as many parents as we can. If you want to be there, but you're working or you cannot be there, then write something down on paper if you can, give it to me or BJ or Cliff or someone, and we will try to take that into consideration as best we can. The deacons are trying to get some dinners for Suzanne Connors. She had an operation on her right knee, and she's in pain, and she cannot get around. She cannot put any weight on her leg right now. So if you'd like to make a meal for her, when I say make a meal, you don't always have to make a meal. You can go out and purchase a meal somewhere and take it over. So if you want to do that, you can call Kathy Segge here. I sent that out on email. You can grab her after church and say, I'd like to have such and such a night and do this for a while to help them. Steve had called me and asked me to set up an investment committee meeting. I was trying to do that, but the dates have not worked. So a date for that has not been set up yet. But I will continue trying to do that. I'll need to turn that over to someone else to try to set that meeting. And you can read the other announcements that are in the bulletin. Any announcements need to be made that have not been made?
Women's Association will not meet today, but we will meet on August the 26th.
Women's Association not meet today, but meet August 26th. BJ?
We just found out that Shop for a Cause is coming up on August 25th. We were not notified because we did not have an email address for them to notify us. So I'm going to pick up the tickets this week, and we will have 2 weeks to sell them. It's just a cause that costs $5. All the money goes to the church. So I will have them with me here the next 2 weeks, and then it is August 25th.
Okay, Shop for a Cause will be selling those tickets for $5, and that is at Macy's, is that right?
At Macy's.
Okay, and those $5 goes to our church.
I just wanted to say I've got Dorothy Deal and my Uncle Jack, Brian, wanted to say thank you for all the prayers and cards. It really helped.
Dorothy Deal and Uncle Ryan, say thank you for all the prayers and doing better. Any other announcements? This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Something a little different today. Our screen song is our first song. So I'm going to slip over to the side, step by step, and we'll sing it through two times. As you find printed within your bulletin. Dear God, we thank you for the unity you have as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We praise you for showing us how we can work together for your kingdom. Forgive us when we fail to unite as your children for your glory. Teach us how to walk hand in hand with Jesus and each other. Show us how we can be a team that bonds together in our faith. May we become one as we pray, sing, minister, fellowship, and study. May our voices be heard, proclaiming that Jesus Christ is Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us take a moment as we bow our heads and close our eyes for your personal silent prayer of confession. Friends, believe in the good news of the gospel, for in Christ Jesus we are forgiven.
We believe in the forgiveness of sins. We are saved by grace through faith. This is God's gift in Jesus Christ.
Once again, unite in our faith through our traditional Apostles' Creed. I believe
God, Father Almighty, the Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day, He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come.
Let's take a moment and greet one another. The guests here, be sure to introduce yourself to them. Taken from the scriptures being read today. Unity 664 in the back of your hymnals. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace.
There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope and you were called.
One Lord, one faith, one baptism.
One God and Father of all,
any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion.
Then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose.
Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves.
Each of you should hold not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others.
I'd like to open up this portion of the service for the pastoral prayer. I invite you to submit any prayer requests. And you can peruse the back of your bulletin and continue to pray for these persons. And also when you get your Valley newsletter, always look at those names and be in prayer for those and be in prayer for the CE meeting Monday night and in the investment committee when we have that and the different things that we're trying to do. And of course, as I said, people on vacation, as they have a good relaxing vacation and a safe vacation as they travel. Any prayer requests?
Yeah. I'd like prayers for Paul, who's going in on Thursday to the cardiac surgeon, and he's going to probably have open heart surgery for aortic stenosis.
Be in prayer for Paul as he goes in to have an appointment with a cardiac surgeon and may have surgery, and you'll let us know when that would.
He's going to have
not Thursday, though. But you'll let us know when he's going to have it, is what I'm saying. We'll find out that date.
A prayer for my friend Melanie, who found out 8 months ago that she has ovarian cancer. And is going on Thursday to see to get test results and see if it's progressed.
Okay, Melanie, stage 1 ovarian cancer. We're going to see the doctor Thursday to see where it is at. Anyone else?
I have three questions. One is for our daughter Christine, who lives in Orange Beach, Alabama. Her husband died last Sunday afternoon. That's a very long struggle. Prayers for her. Prayers at Primal Universities for my younger daughter and those who are coming back to Alabama today after a very quickly arranged trip. And last of all, prayers at Thanksgiving for this wonderful guest we have with us, Smith from Lancaster. We've known them over 45 years and they're here for the weekend too, I'm sure, of us.
And welcome. Thank you for being here. Anyone else?
Thank you for your prayers for Suzanne. I believe the surgery was successful and she's starting physical therapy already.
Thanks for prayers for Suzanne. I believe the surgery was successful and going through therapy. When I told her yesterday, she was in a little pain from it, but that's normal. Thank you.
Prayers for a safe return for our family from Chicago.
Safe return for our family to Chicago.
And my friends from work still have some issues, some prayer requests for their moms. One might be a decision-making tomorrow.
And friends from work, a possible decision for one mom tomorrow. Yes.
Can you pray for Bob?
For Bob, always. Yeah. Christine, who is struggling from depression. It's a horrible thing. It's hard to get out of sometimes. Let's be in prayer for Christine. She can get straightened out. Anyone else?
Prayers for Paul, who was going to have heart cath position on Friday.
Heart cath for Paul on Friday. Nancy.
For Stephanie, she's going to be in a study of
Okay, for Stephanie, who's going to study in Washington, and Pat, who's on a trip to Italy by himself. It ought to be fun. Anyone else? Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and I'll lead you into the Lord's Prayer. In our Presbyterian tradition, we say debts and debtors instead of trespasses. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you on this day, as we do each and every Sunday, and remind us that we should be coming to you in prayer every day, that we should be in prayer constantly to you, talking to you as we would to a friend, telling you our needs, our wants, our desires, and thanking you for the blessings that you have given to us in our lives. To not let you be a stranger. Lord, help us to find the unity in our lives that we need as a church to grow, to move forward, to have the programs that we should have, to have the relationship with you that we need, to have the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives as individuals and as the group, as the church here at Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church. Help us to minister to one another and then to reach out into our community and to minister to others, that they can find the peace that passes all understanding that you can only really have in a relationship with Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So we come to you because of Jesus Christ, and we present all of our prayers to you. And we thank you for hearing us and answering them according to your wisdom and your power and your might, your love, your mercy, your grace, your understanding of human nature. Help us this day, Lord. Answer all the prayers that have been spoken out. Touch all those people listed in the valley and the bulletin. All those that have whispered a silent prayer to you. Even those that have not maybe even asked for prayer. Minister to them this day. Let us all feel your love, your compassion in our lives. Even when we don't feel you, remind us that you are there with us every day, every step of the way, that you never leave us, you never forsake us, you never turn your back upon us and walk away saying, I'm through with you, I want nothing to do with you anymore. You stay with us, and we thank you for that, Lord, the unity that we can have with you. And we thank you, Lord, for coming into the midst of our lives in this earth 2,000 years ago. Your healings, your teaching, your examples, the message you gave your disciples, and then sending them off to minister. And we thank you for this wonderful prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our hymn of preparation this morning, 455, Come All Christians Be Committed.
Thank you.
Let's bow forward of thanksgiving. Heavenly Father, once again, we thank you for the cross of Jesus Christ, what it means for the world, for those who will accept salvation and eternal life. And we thank you for the gifts that have come from above, that you've blessed the church with, that you've given not for our individual glory, but for your glory, that we can proclaim the good news, the gospel, that Jesus Christ has for come into the world and died upon the cross and risen from the dead and ascended into heaven, and our sins can be forgiven. Help us to proclaim this message to the world, to our neighbors, to our family, and help us to accept it in its fullness in our own lives. Lord, thank you for Christ. Thank you for what he means to us. And Lord, I thank you for this congregation, for the gifts that you've blessed them with, and for every gift that they use for your glory. Bless them this day. In the precious name of Christ, our Lord, our Savior, our Helper, and our Friend. Amen. Thank you. We have a different scripture reader this morning. Bill's taking the Sunday off. And Connie Rao is visiting her mother from Florida, and she's going to read today. And so we welcome her. Anyone else who would like to read sometimes, you can sign up in the sheet in the back.
Okay. So may God bless this, the reading of the Word. It's Ephesians 4, 1 through 16 in the NIV. Let's see here. As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men. What does he ascended mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended to the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, he will in all things grow up unto him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love, as each part does its work. May God bless his word.
Thank you, Connie. Very nice. Some of you probably remember country comedian Jerry Clower. Besides being a funny storyteller, Clower, who died in 1998, was a deeply religious man. He tells of an occasion when he invited Sue's 14-year-old daughter to go to the Country Music Association Awards with him in Hollywood, and he listed for his daughter, Sue, some of the stars that he would meet if she came with him, and he also told her that he could take one of her friends with her to Hollywood, and that's kind of a big deal. And she said, Daddy, I love you, and I'm glad that you've arranged it where I could go and I could take one of my friends with me on the trip. But there's something going on at the church, and I don't want to miss it. I won't be able to come with you this time. Jerry Clower says that tears literally welled up in his eyes. He said he wanted to sing the doxology and to think that a church trip was more important than going to Hollywood, to the CMA Awards, and meeting other stars. A church activity more important than going to Hollywood and meeting stars. Anglican Bishop James Cruikshank was once asked by a student, what is the first thing we should do when we start a new church as a pastor? And the bishop immediately replied, once you arrive, go to your office, sit down, and remain there until you realize that what your church is doing is the most important mission in the entire community. And then give thanks that Christ has called you to be a part of it. The most important mission in the community. And I ask again, how important is church to you? Do you believe that God has a plan for our church, for Glenshaw Valley? Do you believe that what we are doing, preparing the world for the coming of God by proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ, is the most important thing that any group or any organization can do? Even though a lot of good things are being done by a lot of good organizations, do you believe that, or do you look at the church as just another organization? Something that you can just belong to. Maybe you can get fellowship at, or maybe you can make business contacts at, or you've just always gone, so you go. I believe that God has called our church and other churches to turn the world upside down. I read a story recently about a circuit-riding preacher during the frontier days of our land. He was a humdinger of a preacher named Jesse Lee. He once preached a sermon on Acts 17:6 that reads like this in the New King James Version. These that turn the world upside down have come here also. The thrust of the sermon was that sin has turned the world upside down, and the design of the gospel and the business of the ministry are to set the world right side up again. Well, the people in the town decided to have a little fun with the preacher. When he rode back into town the next day, they had turned everything that they could upside down. The signs, wagons, gates, everything that they could, just to have a little fun. The people of the town got a laugh at the preacher's expense, but at least they got the point right. They listened to his message. They understood what he was saying. The purpose of the church is to turn the world upside down, or better, to turn it right side up. You and I have a tendency to take the Church of Jesus Christ, I think, for granted. I think the world does. We see sometimes the church as a mere institution or a mere club or a place where we can make friends or business contacts. What we fail to see is the church as God's agent, Christ's body at work in the world. Christ came into the world to save the world. Read John 3:16 and John 3:17. John 3:17, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. We forget that part sometimes. But how does Christ save the world? I mean, he's gone, right? Certainly he saved the world enough through the cross. He died upon the cross, nailed our sins to the cross, that we might have eternal life. He gave his life, and by his life we receive that life here and the life to come. What we fail to recognize, however, is that Christ is still saving the world by giving his body, the church, in service to the world today. You and I are central to the plan of God. And I doubt if we wake up in the morning and say, you know, I'm central to the plan of God today. Anybody wake up this morning and say that? The hand did. Good. If we fail to do what Christ has called us to do, if we fail to be what Christ has called us to be, then Christ's saving act is incomplete. In her best-selling book, Traveling Mercies, Anne Lamott explained why she made her son, as a young person, go to her church. She says, the main reason is that why I want to give him is what I found in the world, which is a path and a little light to see by. Most of the people I know, says, want purpose, heart, balance, gratitude, joy, are people with a deep sense of spirituality. There are people in community who pray and practice their faith. In other words, they're not just going to church, they're living the Christian experience. They follow a brighter light than the glimmer of their own candle. They are part of something beautiful. She goes on to say, our funky little church is filled with people who are working for peace and freedom, who are out there on the streets and they're inside the church praying and writing letters and bringing food to people and doing the ministry of Jesus Christ. And then she says, when I was at the end of my rope and didn't know what to do, didn't know where to turn, the people at St. Andrew's tied a knot. I like that. They tied a knot in it for me and help me to hold on. That's good. They tied a knot for me and help me to hold on. The work of the church is important. It is critical work. If you do not understand that, you cannot appreciate the words of the Apostle Paul to the church at Ephesus. Paul is in prison. He knows that his time is limited. He is going to die. And so he writes to the church at Ephesus with a real sense of urgency about the meaning of the gospel and what their mission is, the people are to convey the gospel. He conveys to them two important truths about the church for God's plan to be realized. Two things are critical. First, it is vital that our unity within the church be maintained. That is very, very important. The pastor was telling why he had resigned from his pulpit. He had hired a young minister to work with the youth of the church. The young minister said some rather radical things that young ministers often do, especially youth pastors. And some of the older people in the church didn't like it. But the pastor thought he should come to the defense of the youth pastor. Church started fighting, started dividing over it. And he realized how serious the division was when he was getting ready to preach one Sunday morning and the choir was sitting down and his wife was a choir member, and when she sat down, and the ladies that normally sat beside her got up and moved. It happens, my friends. He said, I couldn't take it anymore, so I resigned. I could not take the way that some Christians treat other Christians. My friends, if you believe that the Church of Jesus Christ is at the center of God's purpose for creation, if you believe that you were called to be the light of the nations of the world, then stories like that should break your heart. How can we have that in a church? If we are the hope that God has for the world, then the rest of the world is in trouble. If we cannot love one another, our unity is critical. We must work as a unit. We must work as a team. There's no other way. I heard about a pastor gathered his congregation in a circle and then told them to picture God at the center of the circle. Then he instructed them to move closer in, keep coming in. And they were touching shoulder to shoulder. And then the pastor said, you can't get closer to God without at the same time getting closer to one another. It'd been like this, and then they were shoulder to shoulder. When a church is doing what it's supposed to do, when the people are loving each other, when they say they're loving God, the people in the congregation should be drawing closer and closer to one another in true love. You cannot split a body asunder and have the body carry out the task that Jesus Christ has given us. We're called to be Jesus in earthly flesh to the world, and it is important that we work together and love one another. So St. Paul says that our unity is critical. Critical. He also says, Paul says that each of us has a gift to be used in God's service. St. Paul knows that Christ gave some gifts to some of us to be apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers. And the purpose of these specific gifts is that to equip his people, which is the church, for the works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. Built up, not torn down. Not divided. Built up. And these gifts which Paul lists are gifts of ministry. All of us are gifted in some way, and it's when we offer our gifts to God to be used for His glory and His church that the kingdom of God is brought closer to us. And I think we become a happier people. In Aesop's fable, it's about an old crow who was out in the wilderness and was very thirsty. And there was a jar that had some water in it, but his beak would not go down far enough to get the water. Being a crow, he's pretty smart. So he started picking up pebbles and dropping them into that water, into that jar, until enough pebbles were in there, until the water rose, and he then could get a drink of water. My friends, that is my understanding of the way God does his work in the world. Each of us is dropping our own little pebble into that jar so the world can get a drink of water. Teaching that Sunday school class. Making that visit to that shut-in or someone in the hospital or a neighbor. Teaching vacation Bible school. Joining one of our teams. Coming on to session council. Making that special gift, financial gift to missions. Serving as a deacon. Singing in the choir. Pulling the weeds around the church. Serving meals on Thursdays, 8 times a year, which is a moneymaker. Working with the junior church. Or at the youth group, sending out cards to shut-ins or to the sick or to a visitor or someone that we haven't seen for a while in worship, or making telephone calls along those same lines, cutting the grass, making someone a meal, participating in drama in worship, working in the garden, and not just keeping the food all for yourself, but donating part to the food bank, or bringing in food to the food bank that it can be taken, or prayer. You say, I can't do a lot of these things, but everyone can have a gift of prayer. Praying for this church, praying for our leadership, praying for our programs, praying for our growth, praying that people will be touched by Jesus Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Everyone can do that. Each of us serving in his own special way. That task may not seem so important at the time, but these pebbles are accumulating in the bottom of that jug, and the water is rising. And one of these days, God is going to bring in his kingdom in his fullness. That is God's plan for creation, and it is centered in this group of people. Now, the obvious question is, are you dropping in your own pebble? Are you using your gift to the glory of God? You may say, Pastor, what can I do? Well, I want to tell you a story. It's about a little lady in a small church in Maryland. Her name was Miss Fuss. And Pat said she sure could fuss. She's always fussing about something, especially at her young pastor. But he knew, and others knew, that she had a heart of gold. And she was severely handicapped by arthritis and all crippled up, could barely use her hands. But she was determined to always go to church, and she made sure every Sunday, every time there was the doors open at the church, she was there. She said, I'm afraid if I quit going, I'll just curl up and die. Miss Fuss pastor stood up one Sunday morning and preached a sermon on the idea that each of us has a ministry and each one can drop that pebble in the jar. And after the service, Miss Fuss says, Pastor, what can I do? Pastor looked down at her, severely handicapped, and said, you know, I don't know, I'm going to have to pray about this. Why don't I pray this weekend? I'll come by the house and we'll talk about it. Later that week, the pastor went by and knocked on the door. She said, come on in, because she couldn't really get up and go to the door and open it. It's too much trouble. When he came in, she was all excited and said, Pastor, I think I've discovered my calling. And he was like, because I got nothing. She said, we have some shut-ins in our little town, and most of their relatives live out of town. And what if they were to die? Something happened to them. No one would even know. They could be dead for days. She said, I've started a ministry where I call these shut-ins and I talk to them for 5 minutes every day. And the problem is she couldn't dial a telephone. This is not 2012. She didn't have the big phone that she could, you know, do with her elbow or something, hit the numbers. She didn't have an iPhone where she could talk to it and it would dial. She had a rotary phone. Y'all know what that is? Should have brought a picture. I did that one Sunday. So what she did, she had a big stick that would fit in, and she grabbed it like this, and she would dial the number slowly. And she got it done. And she would call them every day. Each one, however many was on her list, every day would call them, and she would speak for 5 minutes. She said, I only talked for 5 minutes because I wanted to listen to their problems. I was scared if I talked for more than 5 minutes, I would start giving them all my problems. She said, I limit it, and I do it every single day. Miss Fuss found her ministry. If she can find her ministry, I believe that all of us can find our ministry. You know, the crisis of the church, I think, today is one of commitment. Jesus said, follow. If anyone would be my disciple, he must take up the cross and follow me. That is another way of saying that we must find that unique ministry that Christ has called us to offer to the world. It won't be preaching for most of us. It might not be a position that you're even recognizing except by God. Maybe no one will even know what you are doing. But in order for the waters of God to rise, each of us must drop in our own pebble, whatever it might be. I want to close with this little time-honored story. Angel Gabriel approached Jesus in heaven after his time was finished on earth, and Gabriel asked Christ, Master, did you accomplish everything on earth that you set out to do? Jesus said, no, not yet. There's still much to be done. Gabriel was perplexed, and he said, well, what's next? Jesus said, I've left it in the hands of my disciples. They will carry on the work that I've begun. Gabriel frowned and looked rather skeptical. He said, do you really think that they will? What if the people, as time goes by, forget about you and forget about your plan along the way? Did you leave them a plan B? Jesus, no. No plan B. I'm counting on them. What a tremendous privilege it is for us to be the church of Jesus Christ and to have God counting on us. We are Christ's own body. We are the light of the world. That means that our unity is critical. That means that every one of us has a calling, a ministry, a pebble to drop in. And we are the ones that need to get the word out that Jesus Christ is Lord, that He is the way, that He is the truth, that He is the life, that we can take some of the confusion out of this world. Our community depends on us. Some of the members of your own family are depending on you to show them the way, to show them love, to show them the light, to show them who Jesus Christ is. Are you willing to take that step? Are you willing to find your gift, our gifts, and use them for God's glory? May God bless you. Amen. Our closing hymn, The Bond of Love, 281. Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church in this beautiful sanctuary. I hope that you felt loved. I hope that you feel inspired. I hope that you feel ready to use the gift or gifts that you have. If you don't feel like you have a gift, go to God in prayer. Ask Him what your gift is and be ready to receive it. Because you have a gift. I promise you, you do. And then go out into the world using that gift for His glory, that others can find salvation and peace and be a part of this church or maybe another body of Christ. Go out in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.